Well, folks, we are into the holidays here, and we have enjoyed harvest, not probably as much as the gentleman sitting here with me. We are going to now drive out into Alexander Valley, and this is my first trip into Silver Oak here in Alexander Valley. I'm sitting with Nate Weiss, and Nate, it's great to be with you, sir, and we're going to be talking about two wines, but there's a lot of history that goes to this, a very interesting beginning.
That's correct. Pleasure to be here, Doc. We're approaching our 50th anniversary as a company, which is pretty cool. So this year, 2019, was our 48th vintage as Silver Oak.
You haven't been here for all of them.
I have not, yeah. I have to admit, I haven't actually been alive since the whole time Silver Oak's been making wine.
Let's start at the beginning. Now, there was two partners who got together, and Silver Oak was a vision. But at that time, wine production was a totally different thing than it is now. The quality of the wine, 90% of it was jug wine.
Yeah, you know, back in the 70s, Silver Oak's founding principles was we're going to make Cabernet Sauvignon and only Cabernet Sauvignon. Ray Duncan and Justin Meyer decided that was going to be their focus. And sitting here in 2019, that seems like a pretty obvious choice. Like, well, yeah, of course that's what you're going to focus on in right. Napa and Alexander Valleys. But in the 70s, that was a little bit more out there as an idea, right? We had a lot of other varieties, Chenin Blanc, Zinfandel. There's still quite a bit of Zinfandel in Alexander Valley, but, you know, Napa used to grow Grey Riesling and all sorts of stuff like that. Cabernet was kind of an unusual choice at the time. They hitched their cart to the right horse, that's for sure.
And they also brought in some folks from France. They're pretty prolific in their winemaking.
Yeah, we've developed a relationship. Justin Meyer was the first winemaker for Silver Oak. He was succeeded by a man named Daniel Barron in 1994. And Daniel had a background working in Pomerol at this little winery called Chateau Petrus.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, they've made some pretty good wines over the years. The technical director that he had worked for back in the 80s decided to retire about 10 years ago now, and his name is Jean-Claude Barraway. So he was the technical director. He blended the Petrus wines, he blended the Chateau Magdalene. You know, he basically worked for the Moyex family and was their head honcho as far as production. So when he retired, he decided to start consulting, and through the connection via Daniel, he decided he wanted to consult for us. So actually, he's going to be arriving, today is Wednesday, he's arriving Saturday.
This area is prolific for Cabernet and it's very exciting, but to bring in superstars is quite an addition.
He's kind of an amazing guy. You know, we really work with him on blending. And so the way it usually goes, we'll blend for 3 days next week, and typically we'll taste through all the wines available to him. And he helps us mostly with the Tumi Merlot. That's kind of his focus. And usually the first day we'll kind of taste through all the wines. He'll come up with a blend on paper. We'll try it on the benchtop, and we'll spend 2 days trying to do something better. And quite often we can't after 2 days. It is relatively common that the very first blend he puts together in his mind is the blend that we decide is the best.
He has a little experience in that. Now let's talk about fruit sourcing. Two different locations here and Napa Valley.
That's correct, yeah. So we make two wines only, and they're both Appalachian blends. So our Napa Valley blend is focused largely on our Soda Canyon vineyard, which is, it's sort of in no man's land in southeastern Napa County. We're sort of too far north to be Coombsville, too low to be Atlas Peak, too far south to be Stag's Leap, too far east to be Oak Knoll. So it's kind of in between all those different areas, but it's a 110-acre vineyard that probably makes up 40 to 50% of our Napa Valley blend every year. We also have a vineyard on Atlas Peak that we call Jump Rock, that borders Stagecoach. And we farm, we have a long-term relationship with a very cool family in St. Helena called the Navonis. So Ernie Navoni and his family, Ernie passed away, I don't know exactly when, 2 years back, but his family had a long history in the Napa Valley with the some of the original wineries, and we farmed that vineyard for them.
I had some experience with Ernie. I met him at Napa Valley Grill quite a few times, and he always had bottles of Silver Oak with him. And it's like, who is this guy? And he was quite a character. He always had beautiful ladies with him. He was a great person to speak to. He's one of the first people I met in 98 when I came here to Napa Valley.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so I never met Ernie. I know, I work with his sons now, and he was the butcher at Keller's in downtown St. Helena, which the deli is long gone, but the sign is still there. And there's great stories about people, you know, women would bring their babies in, he'd weigh them on the butcher scale, and he was almost like the pediatrician slash butcher, and certainly I've heard plenty of stories about his admiration for young women too, so.
Well, we can't fault him for that, but he had a great taste in wine, I always thought, and it was always a privilege to sit with him and have some prime rib there and enjoy a little bit of Silver Oak.